Welcome to 3GT, the podcast where three guys, a pastor, a professor, and a parishioner, discuss theology from a practical standpoint, all from a Reformed perspective. Find out more at 3GT.xyz.
Thank you for joining us on another episode of 3GT. That's Three Guys Theologizing. And as is usual, I'm joined here today with my friends, Kyle Borg, pastor out in Kansas, and Scott Hunt, our parishioner from Indiana. And this is Barry York, the prof at RPTS. And I'm excited about today's episode because we have a special guest with us. That is Dr. Jeff McDonald, who is a pastor of the Avery Presbyterian Church in Omaha, Nebraska. That's an evangelical Presbyterian church congregation. And the reason we have Dr. McDonald on with us today is because of a book that he's written on the life of Jonathan Gerstner. The book is called John Gerstner and the Renewal of Presbyterian and Reformed Evangelicalism in Modern America. So that's a mouthful, but we're glad you're on with us today, Jeff. Thanks for joining us on 3GT.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
Well, part of the reason that we decided to have you on today, Jeff, you and I actually talked earlier this week, is because of an event that's happening on May 10th. The Geneva College, located here in western Pennsylvania, has been granted Dr. Gerstner's library by his family. And so there's going to be a celebration that day. We're going to have several dignitaries here that day giving talks on Dr. Gerstner's life and influence, men like Art Lensley, David Coffin, and Mark Ross. We'll also be joined that day by Dr. Steve Nichols from Reformation Bible College down in Orlando. And so that should be a great day celebrating. And I know those who are planning the conference were really hoping you would be able to be there, Jeff, but you have a special reason why you can't be there. Do you mind sharing that with our listeners?
Yeah. Well, I would love to be there. And I'm sorry, I'm going to miss it, and I just think it's going to be a great event. But my wife is having our fourth child. She's scheduled to have a C-section the same day as the conference, so I will not be able to be there.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yes. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
And duty certainly calls in a situation like that. So, well, let's talk a little bit about Dr. Gerstner. Jeff, you don't mind. He's probably familiar to a number of our listeners, but most likely not all of them. So could you just give us a short bio, a brief bio of Dr. Gerstner's life?
Yeah, he grew up in a family, only child. His parents were not Christians. He really had no Christian influence from his parents whatsoever. And in high school, he dated a girl who attended a United Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia. And he went to that church, but he really didn't become a Christian there. He became a Christian when he went on a visit to the Philadelphia School of the Bible. And the dean there explained the gospel message to him. And he said as he walked down the steps, that's the first time that he accepted Christ and made a commitment to Christ there on the steps of the school. And subsequently, he went to the UP church and they sent him out to Westminster College in Pennsylvania. And he went to college there, was a very good student. He was a very good student at Westminster Seminary and then did a PhD at Harvard and taught at the old UP Seminary Pittsenia, and then when it consolidated with Western Seminary, which was the PCUSA Seminary in Pittsburgh, he taught the rest of his career at the consolidated Pittsburgh Seminary until 19, 1980. But Gerstner was an evangelical Presbyterian scholar. He had a very strong influence in the mainline Presbyterian church, but also in the smaller Presbyterian denominations, including the Reformed Presbyterian Church and the Associate Reformed Presbyterian Church and the Evangelical Presbyterian Church and the PCA. He really was able to extend his influence in all those smaller Presbyterian bodies, but also in the wider evangelical movement at large. And he did that through, he did some apologetic work, but the main thing that he's known for is getting Christians interested in Jonathan Edwards and in showing that, you know, Reformed theology is not incompatible with evangelism. And so that was his main academic work, was in Jonathan Edwards' studies, but he also wrote popular books on Edwards and got many lay people interested in Jonathan Edwards. He was also one of the founders of the International Council on Biblical Inerrancy. Mm-hmm. And so that was one of his main contributions. He was a molder of evangelicalism, a strong opponent of theological liberalism within American Protestantism. And so he did all sorts of things that I could go on and on. He was involved from the very beginning with Christianity Today magazine, and taught at other seminary, even more strictly evangelical seminaries like Knox Seminary and Trinity Evangelical Divinity School, and really was able to extend his influence into a lot of different parts of American Protestantism.
Yes, very influential 20th century theologian. And one of the things in your book that you bring out is that there are different streams of Presbyterianism, and that Dr. Gerstner represented one of those streams. And as you've explained the story, you show how that influenced him as a person, as a theologian, and then how he really, in a sense, took that stream he came out of and influenced other parts of Presbyterianism. So could you just explain that a little bit to our listeners?
Yeah, the United Presbyterian Church of North America existed up until 1958, but it was a denomination that was evangelical and Reformed. It had its roots in the Covenanter movement, which you're very familiar with, but also in the Scottish seceder movement, with the Erskine. And so it was, a denomination about a tenth of the size of the PCUSA. And in the 30s, 40s, 50s, they had one seminary, which was Pitt Xenia. And that was the only seminary for the denomination. The denomination had, I think, six colleges. But they did have, in terms of comparing it to the PCUSA, they were not as accomplished in the field of scholarship, but they did have some scholars who were, quite accomplished. Melvin Grove Kyle, who was a great biblical archaeologist, came out of that tradition. James Kelso is another biblical archaeologist. And they were very, very conservative evangelical. And Kyle himself was a writer of the Fundamentals. James Orr in Scotland was a part of that denomination, the United Presbyterian Church. So I would say, a more, populist evangelical body. And Gerstner, that shaped Gerstner because he wanted to challenge, when the two denominations came together in 1958, he was not happy about that, and he wanted to challenge, the liberal theological agenda that the PCUSA theologians, had for the church. And so he did that, to the best of his ability, working with various Presbyterian renewal movements like Presbyterians United for Biblical Concern. And then he also, along with R.C. Sproul, started Ligonier Ministries, and that was a kind of a renewal effort, within Presbyterianism, but then it became much larger as kind of a just a larger Reformed ministry. But he, you know, that UT background always shaped his identity, and so that, I think, you know, really helps explain, you know, his career in many ways, and his scholarship too.
Mm-hmm. And it's fascinating to think about being in a seminary setting, since that's what I'm in, and then having your denomination join with another, and to think about you being in a conservative wing of the church, and then having all this liberal influence come into the place where you're teaching. What was that like for Gerstner? And I know there were some battles. Could you just describe some of that for us?
Yeah, well, the PCUSA leadership was very concerned about what was happening at Pitt Xenia, the UP seminary, and they were concerned that Pitt Xenia, under the leadership of Addison Leach and John Gerstner, would turn into another Fuller seminary, and they did not want that to happen. And so Gerstner makes the case that one of the main reasons they brought the two denominations together was to avoid Pitt Xenia becoming another Fuller. When they did come together, there were a lot of problems. The librarian for Pitt Xenia resigned in protest over the consolidation and concerns that she had over liberalism. After a year, the former Pitt Xenia president, Addison Leach, resigned over liberalism, and that was a front-page story in the Pittsburgh newspaper, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. That my book brings that story about Addison Leach out.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but Gerstner decided to stay at the seminary and be an evangelical witness there in the midst of the seminary did become quite liberal in the 60s, and he just felt like it was his duty to provide a more conservative reform voice there. And so he committed himself to doing that, and he stood, you know, strong for the faith once delivered to the saints, and, was not going to compromise or... he really was determined and courageous, you know, in his battles with liberalism. And so then he stayed until he was 65 and retired in 1980 from the seminary.
And so he was very much like an Elijah figure in Israel, and even had the voice to go along with it. If you've ever heard Dr. Gerstner speak, he has this deep, gravelly type voice, and some would say he was kind of a rough figure. He was very strong in his convictions, if you've ever heard him teach. What was he like personally, if you were to get to know him? Did you ever have the opportunity, Jeff, to be around him?
No, he passed away in 1996, and I started writing this is my PhD dissertation. I started writing it in about 2010 when I started their initial research. But his personality, you know, many of his, people that, you know, you would consider to be enemies on the Pittsburgh Seminary faculty, people who are more liberal theologically, you know, most of them did find him to be very friendly. And I think he wasn't afraid to take a stand, when he had to on very serious issues. And so he was, you know, outspoken. Sometimes he could be, somewhat gruff in his demeanor. But he was, for many people, many evangelicals in the PCUSA, which at the time was the UPCUSA, but for many evangelicals, mainline evangelicals and people in the RP and ARP and OP, he was someone who was not afraid to stand for the evangelical and reformed faith, and to do it in a way that was winsome. And he had a very sharp intellect. He was a very good, had a very good mind and a very good speaker. And so his speaking abilities really helped propel him to kind of the forefront of evangelical reformed scholarship in the 50s and 60s and the 70s. He became a molder, kind of a molder of the larger evangelical movement.
Mm-hmm. So he was, it's really fascinating because he could appear to be gruff, rough, tumble kind of guy. But when you really think about his influence, in the right sense of the word, he was very ecumenical. He was reaching across lots of different denominational lines and having a tremendous influence. And that's something to really, really learn from his life. You've already touched on some of the...
Go ahead, Kyle. Barry, can I just ask a quick question? So I really appreciate this. This is helpful. I have a couple books by Gerstner, but I haven't spent a ton of time with him. You've talked a lot about how he helped to mold evangelicalism. Certainly his position with Christianity Today would have been influential in that. I'm just curious, could you give our listeners just a definition by, what do you mean by evangelicalism? What do you think is the best way to define that, or how would Gerstner have defined that in his time?
Yeah, that's a great question. Gerstner defined it by he wrote an essay on this in the I think the mid 70s and a book called The Evangelicals. He wrote a book on the theological boundaries of evangelicalism, and he pointed back to an earlier period in the mainline Presbyterian church when they had the five fundamentals. So that was kind of, for him, kind of a irenic or a broad way of having, you know, evangelical theological boundaries. I think in terms of evangelicalism, in terms of what it is as a movement, the best way of explaining it historically is to think about the Bevington quadrilateral. In terms of, you know, it's a Protestant movement that focuses on conversionism, that lives need to be changed. Number two, it focuses on activism in terms of getting the gospel message out, but also, you know, caring for those who are in need, the destitute, the poor. The third point that David Bevington makes is that evangelicalism is a movement that recognizes the Bible as God's word. It has supreme authority. And then lastly, a focus on the cross. So crucicentrism has been a major theme or emphasis within the evangelical movement at large. And so Gerstner did identify himself as an evangelical Presbyterian. He did not, you know, run away from that term evangelical. You know, he would want to go deeper too. I mean, you know, just pointing to five fundamentals or some essential tenets of the faith would not be enough. You know, he would stand firmly, you know, for the Westminster Confession of Faith. So he wasn't just a generic evangelical. He regarded himself as an evangelical Presbyterian.
Thank you. That's super helpful. Thank you.
Well, Jeff, you've already mentioned some of the influence, and you use the word here several times, molding different groups and evangelicalism. What were the means that he used to mold? Was it just the force of his character and intellect as he taught and preached, or did he use other means? Was it scholarship or all the above? I mean, what were some of the ways that he had such an influence in different parts of the church?
You know, he was the mentor to R.C. Sproul. So that's
a big one.
one way that he influenced the movement. And then one of the unknown things about the Council, International Council on Biblical Inerrancy, is that the three people who really launched it all came from a United Presbyterian background. And they were just very upset about the two denominations, you know, coming together, you know, the PCSA and the old UP church. And they were upset about the Confession of 1967. And so, you know, they started the International Council on Biblical Inerrancy, and that was founded by Jay Grimstead, who came out of the UP church, was a graduate of Sterling College, and then R.C. Sproul and Gerstner. So that's kind of one unknown part of that part of history. And then, you know, he, one of the interesting things about evangelicalism too is kind of the fascination with Jonathan Edwards. It started in the 60s, and Gerstner really was the person to get, evangelicals interested in Edwards. And he struggled in various parts of his scholarship, but in terms of, going places and speaking about Edwards, and he's really the first evangelical that published, one of the early books on Edwards in the field of Edwards scholarship. And so that's, his Edwards work is important. His work with the various, renewal organizations is important. And he helps create what I call this Presbyterian and Reformed evangelical movement, which, you see expanding, into the latter part of the 20th century. The other thing that he did too is he was involved in various mainline Presbyterian church court cases, which were very prominent cases. One was he had a student who would not agree to ordain women, and that was Wynne Kenyon. And so he was the lead defense counsel for Wynne Kenyon. And Wynne Kenyon said that he would work with women ministers in the mainline church, and he didn't object to the nomination or ordain them, but he himself could not ordain them. And the PCUSA, Gerstner lost that case, and the PCUSA ruled that that Kenyon and all ministers had to affirm women's ordination. So that was a very famous case that he was involved. And then in the late 70s, early 80s, he was involved in prosecuting an individual named Mansfield Caseman in the mainline church. And Caseman, in 1979, in his ordination exam in the Washington, D.C. Presbytery, when asked, "Is Jesus God?" said, "No, God is God." And then in the press, he denied the resurrection, and Caseman was allowed to be ordained. And so Gerstner tried prosecuting him through the church courts, but ultimately lost. And that case became, very important, and that was the number one reason why the Evangelical Presbyterian Church was founded in 1981 by people exiting out of the mainline Presbyterian church. So, I could go on with other things that he did. His writings obviously influenced evangelicals in various ways. Mm-hmm. I apologize if I'm saying too much, or just let me know. Cut me off.
No, you're doing great. If someone was wanting to pick up a Gerstner book, what would be one of the two or three titles that you would point them toward, Jeff?
Well, he has, he's really known for his popular books. His book, Reasons for Faith, that's kind of a, general apologetics book. It's not super great, but that's one of the reasons he became known. He kind of became known for not agreeing with presuppositionalism. Mm-hmm. And so in conservative Presbyterian circles, that made him a little bit different. He's known for his, short book on Jonathan Edwards, subtitle that's a mini theology. So his there's other theology for laymen he wrote, and he wrote a very interesting book on the cult, called The Theology of the Sex. And in that book, he has chapters on each sect, but he includes a chapter on theological liberalism, which he regarded as a sect, as a cult, basically. And he ranked other sects or cults ahead of actually theological liberalism. So you can just imagine how that played, amongst his fellow mainline Presbyterian scholars. But really, in many ways, Gerson was continuing the legacy of Machen in terms of agreeing with the analysis of Machen's book, Christianity and Liberalism. So he was kind of extending the fights of the 1920s and 30s out later into the, the 60s, 70s, 80s, and beyond.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I know the very... Exactly,
oh,
Well, I was just going to say he was a better speaker than he was a writer, and a better teacher than he was a writer.
The very first book I ever picked up by John Gerstner, I was brand new to Reformed thinking. And having grown up in an evangelical, well, he'd probably dispute the claim, but an evangelical dispensational church and home. And the first book I ever picked up was Wrongly Dividing the Word of Truth. And it was a fire hose. I had no idea what to think of this guy named John Gerstner after reading that book.
But that book actually was very helpful to me as well. So and as you point out, Jeff, I think my first exposures to him was through Ligonier material and just listening to him teach, and with such conviction and passion, the Word of God, the great truths of the Reformed faith. It's just such a blessing. We're getting close to the end of our time. I wanted to just get two more questions in. First of all, in our interaction the other day, you were telling me about his influence on the Reformed Presbyterian Church. I just thought, since his library is going to Geneva College, which is the denominational seminary, would you just point out some of the ways in which you've discovered how he's influenced the Reformed Presbyterian Church?
Yeah. In the 1950s, he was asked to speak at Geneva College and at the church there, right on the campus. And apparently his preaching or his teaching there really was really well received. And so he became a friend to people in the Reformed Presbyterian Church, a co-laborer, and you know, according to some of, you know, like Jack White said, he really helped, you know, a lot of RP ministers in terms of their own theology and their own defense of the faith. And so, you know, he spoke, you know, at Geneva College. I know he gave the commencement address at the Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary, I think in 1980. And just generally, was supported by RP, you know, leaders and pastors and scholars. And that was a tremendous help for him, and I think a great encouragement to him, because, you know, being in the mainline church and being at Pittsburgh Seminary was very hard, you know, for him. He was, I wouldn't say he was the only evangelical at Pittsburgh Seminary, but he was the most outspoken evangelical there, and yeah, he was in a real minority position. So he developed these close associations and bonds with, you know, other Presbyterians who were more supportive of his, you know, theology and his stance. Mm-hmm.
And how significant is it, and this is our last question to you, Jeff, as we wrap up here today, but how significant is it for the Geneva College to receive his library? Why do you think that's such a thing worth celebrating, as we'll be doing again on May 10th?
Well, I think it's fabulous. I'm so happy that Geneva College has decided to do that. I think there's a lot of things in his archives that will be important for, you know, pastors and scholars in the future. They'll be able to look at, you know, various papers and different things that are in his archives and in his, you know, possessions. In terms of papers. So that'll be a real benefit. I think the other thing too is that Gerstner, despite all the things, all the, you know, great things that he was able to accomplish, despite all of his, you know, his courage and his ability to stand for the truth in very difficult situations, he had really been forgotten and became a neglected figure. And, So I'm just so thankful that Geneva College is making his story more well known to people in the RP and other church bodies, because I really do think he is an important figure, even though he's not perfect. He was not perfect. There were flaws in his scholarship, and he had failures, but he had successes as well, and I think he is really an important figure in the evangelical and reformed world, but also in the wider story of American Christianity. Mm-hmm.
Well, Jeff, thank you again for joining us on 3GT today. Again, Jeff's book, again, his last name is McDonald. Jeff McDonald has written a biography called John Gerstner and the Renewal of Presbyterian and Reformed Evangelicalism in Modern America. And you can find that on Amazon and other places where books are sold. And again, if you're in the Western Pennsylvania area or want to come out for that dedication of the Gerstner collection to the McCartney Library on Geneva College's campus, you're certainly invited to come and hear lectures on his life and influence and see for yourself some of the artifacts from his library. Thank you for tuning in to 3GT. You can go over to 3gt.xyz to hear more about us, and we appreciate you listening to this episode.